Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The title for our meditation this morning is this: A Holy Household. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dearly beloved in the Lord, there are some words I thought I'd never say. So I was watching a video on Facebook. It's a video maybe you've seen. It was African-American parents telling their kids what they need to do when they are confronted by police. One man said, so we have this little exercise we do in our house, and he had his daughter show what they do, and she put her hands up and said, my name is, and I unfortunately forget her name, but she said, my name is, I'm 8 years old, I have nothing that can harm you, I'm unarmed, I have nothing that can harm you. His father talked about the fact that he remembers times, for example, when he was just walking in the mall and he got handcuffed for something that he said he had absolutely nothing to do with. It was completely unrelated, and yet he ended up in handcuffs, on the ground, busted lip, chipped tooth. He had been tased another time because it was deemed that he was resisting. And, of course, his little 8-year-old daughter has to deal with that. And you watch this video, and I've never had to have that conversation with my children. This 8-year-old little girl does have to have that conversation. And now that George Floyd has tragically died, at the hands of a police officer, several police officers, this conversation is in the public. Maybe we've avoided it before, but we can't avoid it. As Christians, given that everyone else is talking about this truth, this reality, on this Pentecost Sunday, I'm asking for us to think about, to talk about this reality. We need to talk about it. There might be reasons not to. There are reasons not to. It's something that happened miles and miles away. It's disconnected from my world. I wasn't there. It's not my place to say. These situations get complicated. There's nothing I can do. I need to take care of my own people. There are reasons for not addressing this issue. But here's a reality, just from one news article I read. Police shot and killed twice as many white people as black people since 2015. However, there are six times more white people, which means that proportionally speaking, someone whose skin is darker than ours has a greater chance of being shot and killed. Unarmed people, the statistic is different. For unarmed people, whites and blacks have about the same number of deaths, which means proportionally speaking, black people have a significantly greater chance of being shot by a police officer, even though they're unarmed. There are countless studies that have shown that African Americans are much more likely to be pulled over and searched for drugs, even though most of the studies show that it is much more likely that contraband will be found in a white person's vehicle. The fact is, these are just statistical realities. People of color, black, Latino, have a significantly higher chance of being abused by those who've been given authority. And I'm not here to speak against the police. We are to pray for those who have charge over us. There are so many good police officers. I'm saying there are people who take on that position, and the reality is what we saw this last week in Minneapolis, Minnesota. We don't usually talk about it, if we're honest. Maybe I should just speak for myself. I've probably thought about this issue more in the last 72 hours or so than I have my whole life. And so I'm calling on us today to think about it. On this Pentecost Sunday, church, those who are temples of the Holy Spirit, we have to think about this. Because I tell you what, as I've been on Facebook, I've heard a lot of people who are confused and are asking the question, how can this happen? Why is this happening? As they see the violent protests, not the peaceful protests, as they see the violent protests, they're wondering, they're asking the question, how can people treat each other this way? It doesn't make sense. And yet I'm here today to tell you, we should not be surprised. Not here in this world. This is what sin gets us. It didn't take very long after Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit for Cain to kill his own brother because he was jealous. Today, we've heard the story in the Old Testament lesson of what pride and arrogance does. People in their pride wanted to make a name for themselves, lift themselves, exalt themselves over against God so that their will would be done. And God, knowing the trouble that would ensue confuse their languages. That didn't change the pride and the arrogance, though. So now people are dispersed, people speak different languages, they enter into different people groups, and now they try to subjugate other groups to themselves. That's the history of the world. People have always been abusing other people. And those who have the power will use that power to hurt the marginalized, the outsider. That's what sin gets us in this world. And we got to acknowledge the fact that this sin in the world is in us. We can talk about that problem and we can be outraged at what other people are doing. Will we have the honesty, the courage to look inward and see that that same prejudice, that same anger and hatred, that same, we're capable of that too, given the right circumstances. How easy it is for us to look at another person who in any way is in our way and to lash out. How easy it is to judge. If you want to eliminate the problem, you have to eliminate people in this world. And so, yeah, this is horrible. This shouldn't be. Friends, we got to acknowledge the fact that this is what sin gets us. Sin that we have thought is no big deal. The sin that we thought we could sort of just feed and just kind of keep to ourselves. If you want the things of this world, if you want to be at home in this world, what you've seen on your TV screens this last week is what you get. But I've been called today to tell you, on this Pentecost Sunday, that God sees, and God is doing something. God has thought a great deal about racial injustice. In fact, you read through the Old Testament, and you can't help but notice that God actually has a very special place in his heart for the marginalized and for the vulnerable. As God calls his people to get, well, let's just start there. God calls together a people. Who were they? They were the Israelites, who were a subjected, marginalized people in Egypt. Those are the ones that God takes for his own treasured possession. And then when he rescues them out of Egypt, and when he says, this is how you are to live as my people, here's who God regularly points out as those who should be cared for in very concerted terms, in a concerted effort. He talks about the widows, he talks about the orphans, and he talks about the sojourners. He talks about the people who don't look like you, who don't talk like you. And God says, those are the ones that you are to protect and to care for and bring in. Do you want to know what God thinks about racial injustice? he sent his own son to be born of a peasant woman, a Jew, in first century Palestine, occupied by Rome, so a vulnerable, marginalized people. And not just any Jew, but from Nazareth. Jesus was a marginalized person amongst a marginalized people. See, Jesus knows what it means to be a vulnerable outsider. And where was Jesus found? Where was his ministry? Where did he serve? Well, there was the Samaritan leper. Samaritan, again, another divide between the Jews and the Samaritans and prejudice taking place there. A Samaritan who was a leper, that is an outside outsider. And Jesus heals that person and, by the way, points out his faith. Jesus hangs out with tax collectors. You might think, the IRS, who cares? But the tax collectors are the mafia men. These are those who would not think twice about selling out their own people. And yet Jesus reaches out to them, to the prostitutes. Jesus, we're told, spends time with them, reaches out to them. And then Jesus himself is set apart by those in authority for abuse. Soldiers let out their aggression, their anger, their hatred, and their prejudice on Jesus. Jesus is taken outside of the city, hung on a cross between two criminals. Do you want to be with Jesus? That's not a rhetorical question. Do you want to be with Jesus? Well, he's with the marginalized. He's with the people that the world looks down on, pushes out, judges. God has thought about George Floyd, about anyone who has been picked out and abused just for the color of their skin. And here's what God is doing. In Revelation chapter 7, listen to the vision that John receives of heaven. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Let me say that again. A great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Fast forward a bit. There's an elder who asks John, "Who is this?" John says, "You know," and he says, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They've washed their robes, they've made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, their guardian, their ruler." And here's what he does. He guides them to springs of living water. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's the picture. That's the image. That's what God is doing. Lord Jesus, come quickly. A great multitude, people from every nation, every language, every skin color, whooping it up and having a good time. no fires, no throwing stones, no breaking things, no pepper gas, a celebration. Pure joy. A deep, abiding love for one another. That's what God is doing. And I know it doesn't look like it. And we want to know, okay, that's the heavenly vision, but where is it now? I don't see it right now. Here's the thing. Notice, God's going to get his way. This is going to happen. But he's not going to strong arm anybody. He's not going to lord himself over. He's not interested in forcing anyone. He's going to get his way, and it's going to be through his Son, crucified and risen for the world, who is now present in the church. On the first Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples, the first thing that happens is that the Holy Spirit enables these disciples to reach out to those from all over the world of different languages. Jews from all over the world with different languages, some proselytes. That means those who entered into the household of the Jewish faith, Judaism, but were not a Jew by blood. And of those different languages, the disciples, by the power of the Holy Spirit, reach out and call, and the Holy Spirit brings 3,000 people together. From these different nations, different languages, the Holy Spirit transforms these people into a holy household, a family. What we long for, Christ is beginning to do by the Holy Spirit through the church. So do not despair of humankind. God hasn't. He has invested everything in us, and he is lifting up his church. He is forming a holy people to be a holy household. A haven for the oppressed. That's what we're called to be. A haven for the oppressed. What does that look like here for us in White Bread America, Hastings, Nebraska? I'd like to lift up to you three things. I think simple guidelines for you to consider. Get on the internet. Look at Facebook, and you will see all kinds of different things you can do, so go read up on that. For us here at Peace Lutheran Church in Hastings, here's what I'm suggesting. Listen, lift up, and live. Listen. It is so easy for us to hear from someone who looks differently than us, who has a different experience than us, and then to immediately judge and put them in their box and have it all figured out. But the thing is, and maybe you hear something that you disagree with, but you don't know. You do not know what their experience is like. You cannot understand. And so it would be worth your time to listen. And then before you talk, listen again. And before you respond and say anything else, you should make sure that you can speak back to them what you've heard them say. You don't have to agree with everything, but you need to listen. And to actually open up and have a posture where I am going to try to understand as best I can your experience, even though I have never had that experience. To walk a mile in their shoes, so to speak. This is what Christians do. You know how I know? Because this is what Jesus did. Jesus has become flesh just like us. He has learned our experience. And rather than judging, rather than putting us in our place, I mean, can you imagine how many times Jesus must have wanted to say something against the just silly remarks that people made, and yet he was patient? Jesus was very careful in the times that he really let loose and told people how it is. So we need to listen. Secondly, then, we need to lift up our voices, which is to say, for those who have a voice in this society, we need to use our voices to speak on behalf of those who don't have a voice. Use whatever form you have to speak up. If you hear a disparaging remark, if you hear an off-color joke, a racist joke, say something, speak up. That's what Christians do. You know how I know? That's what Jesus did when he stood before Pilate, when he stood before the religious leaders. He did not speak in his own defense. He spoke up his life for you and for me. He speaks on our behalf right now before God. And I tell you what, you do some pretty stupid things. I do some pretty stupid things. And Jesus speaks up for us. How much more then for those who don't have a voice, not because they've done anything stupid? How much more should we use our voice to speak up for those who have no voice? And then finally, live. Live differently. We talked several weeks ago about not going back to normal. Let's not go back to normal. Let's care. Let's not make excuses. And let's have an eye open for where there is disparity, where there is marginalized and oppressed here in our own community. And let's live differently, which is a call to love. That's what Christians do. You know how I know. Do I need to prove what Jesus did on that one? As he sacrificed his own life for us, gave it all up for us. So that's the news for us on this Pentecost Sunday, 2020. And that's really some good news in the midst of all the bad news. God cares and he's doing something. And we hear Christians talk all the time. You know what the church needs? Church needs this program. The church needs to do this idea. You know what the church needs? People who just listen to God's word and love the people around them and speak up for those who aren't able to speak for themselves. That's what the church needs. we don't want to go back to normal. Remember? We want to be with Jesus. I skipped a line in my sermon that I wanted to say earlier. Maybe I'll just end it with this before we pray. What is the church supposed to be? The church is not a somewhat more religious version of the world. The church is not some heavenly-minded enclave that's disconnected from what's going on the earth. Here's what the church is. A holy people at the heart of the world. A holy people of prayer at the heart of the world, right where the world is in pain. Thanks be to God, that's where Jesus is. Thanks be to God, the Holy Spirit has revealed to us Jesus. He's shown us. And thanks be to God that he brings us to him. Let us pray. Come, Holy Ghost, God and Lord, with all your graces now outpoured, on each believer's mind and heart, your fervent love to them impart. Lord, by the brightness of your light, in holy faith your church unite, from every land and every tongue, this to your praise, O Lord, our God, be sung. Alleluia, alleluia. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.